very much. By giving his date of birth and that sort of information, it sounds like you're looking for a reading on this person. And remote viewing doesn't exactly do that, though I suppose you could remote view a specific person's future and make that kind of determination. I'm not sure. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
How you doing, Art?
Okay.
Hey, I just had one thing I wanted to put out to your listeners out there as a sort of a primer, an old book, The Study of the Paranormal, the Supernatural, and the Occult. Have you ever heard of it?
I don't know.
Old book by Colin Watson back in the 70s. But it's the best reference book for the whole thing you deal with. And the other thing, the guy you had on...
You didn't name the book.
Yes, it's called The Study of the Paranormal.
Oh, I see.
Supernatural.
I see. That is the title. That is the title of the book. Okay.
Yeah, it does the whole history. The whole history from that point back. And it's very, very well referenced. It would give you the name of it. Probably every book that was ever written on it in history.
Okay.
Okay. Now, what I want to ask you about was the gentleman you had on, the two gentlemen who were talking about the fourth dimension, that they believe that physics is getting to the point where they can prove it?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever heard of Gary Zukav?
No.
Okay. The Dancing Wee Masters. Now, he, I believe, is a professor, or was a professor, out at Berkeley. And this book, this was years ago I read this. I haven't been in this subject matter for years. It's really, you've brought me back to it. He came to the conclusion, I don't believe he was actually a physics professor, but this is a layman's book on the concept that physics can today even, or at that point, proves that there not only is a fourth dimension, but that really anything is possible.
All right, well, I don't think there's been actual proof of it yet, and I think that the reference to other dimensions is generally made by people of the caliber of Dr. Michio Kaku, and you've got to remember, these are theoretical physicists. Not that there is any specific proof, but that these are theories, and I'm not familiar with any absolute proof that there is such a thing as any dimension beyond the third. If you ask my personal point of view, I would have to say, I believe there is. Well, for those of you who leave us at this hour, goodbye.
Coast AM with Art Bell. From east of the Rockies, call Art at 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, at 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may fax Art at area code 702-727-8499. Please limit your faxes to one or two pages. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now again, here's Art.
Once again, here I am. Things rarely, if ever, and I think possibly never, go back to where they began. Right? Anyway, good morning from the high desert. This is Coast to Coast AM. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Eric, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
I have a question for you, actually, two comments.
All right.
First one is, I'm really confused on that dollar thing. I know it was kind of long-winded, but it's really bothering me, and I don't quite understand how that's possible.
Me either.
I've run it through my head, like, tons of times. And so if anybody has an answer out there...
Well, I thought that it was a convoluted mess,
well,
and that
like...
did not prove that two and two... Every day of the week, every month, do not equal four.
But it was interesting. It was kind of, I thought he was going to have an interesting story about a time machine myself. But and the second thing I was going to ask you this. I've been a listener of your show probably for a couple months now, and I've noticed that when I've been listening anyway, not one of your guests hasn't had a book out, and I don't think that has anything to do with credibility, but I was wondering.
How about Ed Dames?
Ed Dames had one, didn't he?
No.
Didn't he?
No.
Didn't he have any kind of published thing or articles or anything like that?
Not that I know of.
Okay, well, how about, say, 90%?
Okay.
85%.
All right.
That is
usual.
Yeah, I understand, but I'm just wondering if that's... It seems to me that they're advertising their book. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I find it's a moneymaker. And I'm wondering...
Absolutely.
I'm wondering if it's not... If, for example, I had something like, you know, if I had an energy source, an over-opportunity energy source, I would be sort of going to the public, going to the media and saying, hey, here it is. And if I really had it, and it was really blatantly obvious, like some of these people are claiming, that they would actually...
I have not yet seen one that is blatantly obvious.
Oh, I understand.
Have you?
No, I haven't. But just in general, like, I'm just saying that's an example, like, for example, the UFOs. I mean, everybody's seeing them, but the media is not doing anything.
Yeah.
People have books out, and
yes.
They sell.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering if that's not... Every time I hear, I think, does this person have a book? Yes, this person has a book.
Yes.
People from NASA, you had on probably a couple weeks ago, had books.
Yes.
And I'm just... It makes me a little skeptical because I think, well... it seems that their main concern, or one of their main concerns, is making money off of it. Whereas if it was genuine and the world was going to end, money wouldn't matter much.
Well, whether it's about the world ending,
yeah,
or it's about Bill Clinton's sex life, mm-hmm, or it's about how ants mate in the wild, when you write a book, what you got to do is get out there and try and sell it. And the object, indeed, is to make money and to disperse information. So it's a common, obvious thing that people who come on talk shows frequently have books to sell.
I understand that, and I can see. That's why I think websites are really good. But I've noticed it, and maybe I've got it the wrong way, but I think, oh, God, not another book. Because there seems to be so many books. And it's just...
Well, you know, you always have a choice.
Mm.
You don't have to buy it.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Just some of the things are so amazing, and I'm not smashing their credibility or anything, because I think that some of these people really have something to say.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it. In other words, the fact that they are selling a book doesn't make them either more or less credible. You might say, I suppose, that if somebody comes on with information and does not have a book, well, Ed Dames, for example, a lot of people complain about him.
I think Ed Dames is great.
You think he's great, huh?
I think he put a very, very credible, he had his facts straight.
How about Sean David Morton?
Sean David Morton, absolutely.
I don't think he's written a book either.
I think he has. I mean, he was one of the first people I heard.
What is the name of that?
I don't remember it off my head.
Yeah, I don't either.
But I
know he has a newsletter.
Yes, and he had an organization, didn't he?
Delphi Associates, yes.
But I think that's great, because that's something that's reaching the public, and he's not necessarily making money. I think he was saying, indeed, that he was actually lucky to break even. And I think he shows real character, because he's really trying to get himself heard. Like,
so mostly, then, the people that you don't like are the ones that are selling books that you disagree with.
No, not at all. I don't like them. I just
give me an example of somebody that you think is just in it for the money.
Whitley Strieber.
Whitley Strieber.
He seemed to me, I mean, it seemed to me like he was pushing his book a lot. And I know people called in and he's like, well, this is my book.
Mm-hmm.
Check out my book. Whereas if it was me this was happening to, I'd be saying, look, here it is. For you don't know that might not have the money, here you go. And
well, I don't know. I really hardly know anybody who does that. For those of you who don't have the money, here you go.
I don't mean to, like, I'm not saying that I don't believe these people. I'm questioning that it seems that they're wanting to make money just as much as they're wanting to have their stories heard and said. And if it was me that had seen these things, experienced these things...
Well, I'll tell you this. Since you mentioned Whitley, he's a friend of mine, a personal friend.
Yeah.
And I've had private conversations with him over a long span of time.
Mm.
And as a matter of fact, Whitley... It's interesting you should have mentioned Whitley, because he wrote Communion and then a series of books since. And he literally faced bankruptcy. I mean, total bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Had no money at all after writing a bestseller.
Yeah.
And wrote that book because he was compelled to write it. And in conversation with him privately, he's everything that he seems to be in public. In other words, as I talk to him privately, he is passionate about the subject material that ended up in that book, the experiences that he had that resulted in the writing of Communion and so
mm-hmm.
forth. So I know that for a fact from him privately.
Okay. Well, I wasn't in that conversation, so I can't comment. But
no, you've only heard what he's done
exactly.
on the air.
The reason I'm saying he came to my mind because I called and I said, I asked him a question. He's like, well, it's in my book. And he didn't. I mean, I went and looked at it and since then found the answer to my question, but I just remember thinking, well, hold on a sec. Like, not that I don't believe him, but I thought that it would be, he was saying,
he usually answers questions. There are times, though, when a question would require such a complicated answer, and, you know, you have several chapters laid out in a book that you just say that, or maybe you want to sell books, I don't know,
yeah.
or really both.
I just find it an interesting phenomenon. I just wanted to get your thoughts on it, because it is something that maybe...
Well, my thoughts are that people who write books go on talk shows to sell books.
And you think that that's not a problem? That's not...
No, I don't think... That's not a problem for me, because it helps me to get guests, interesting guests, who have written books on controversial matters.
Okay. Like, Forbidden Archaeology.
Yeah.
That, I think that's really, really good, because in a situation like that, you can't possibly...
Well, I remember Michael Cremo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I remember several times during the show with Michael, when he said to a caller, "You'll have to read my book."
But he did explain it. He explained it very, very well.
But there were several times, several callers, who got responded to in that manner.
Yes. And that's, you know, I understand. But it's hard to put my finger exactly on what I mean. But, like, he seemed like he was, his attitude was more genuine. It was...
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you. His attitude was more genuine. I think that it goes back to what I said a moment ago, and that is that you object to those people that you do not find credible who are selling books. Those that you personally find credible that are selling books, that's okay. If a person makes reference or gives an answer to a question that basically is, "I'm sorry, you'll have to read my book," if you think that person is not credible, then you think they're just a huckster selling books. But on the other hand, if you think they are credible, then the statement doesn't bother you, and I would like for you to consider that yourself. Are you overweight? Would you like to lose a guaranteed average 8 to 10 pounds in the next month? Well, we know fiber sweeps fat out of your digestive tract like a broom as a natural course of events. But a new fiber, chitosan, natural because it is derived from shellfish, not only sweeps out fat, but listen to me, 10 times as much fat as any other fiber. So it allows this amazing guarantee. Here it is. Eat as you normally do, not more. Just as you normally do, no great sacrifice. Order a 90-day supply of Keto Slim. With it, you get an antioxidant moisturizing cream free of charge. Call 1-800-557-4627. Now the guarantee. If you don't lose 8 to 10 pounds in the next month, you get all your money back and you keep the cream. It's not available in stores, but you can get it by calling 1-800-557-4627. That's Great American Products at 1-800-557-4627. You've got nothing to lose but the fat. The recent occurrences of increasing volatility in the stock market should cause you to question whether you properly hedged your paper assets. I personally like a certain amount of gold and collectibles as a hedge. This is for the same reason that every single major central bank in every country have their own gold reserves. Even Alan Greenspan was recently quoted as saying, "Deficit spending is simply a scheme for the hidden confiscation of wealth." Gold stands in the way of this insidious process. Now, I personally recommend David Hall's North American Trading in this area. They've been in business for a long time, and I know them to be honest and fair people. They'll take the time to educate and counsel you. I want you to write down this number and call them. Ask for the information on owning gold. 1-800-359-4255. You know, having some gold on hand could be rather helpful if Y2K hits. Remember, that's David Hall's North American Trading at 1-800-359-4255. Tell them I told you to call. The Sanyo 917 Digital Spread Spectrum Cordless Phone has 3 obvious advantages over all other cordless phones, any certainly that I have tested. And there are some new phones on the market that are making claims about even greater distance, and we have tested these phones. Bonk. In fact, we are very careful about testing what we sell. And I say we because I almost feel like I'm part of it. I'm not. It's the Seagrain Company, and they were born and continue in business with the premise that they only sell the best or the best for the money. And they always specify precisely what it is. In this case, it is the best you can buy for any amount of money. It's a 917 by Sanyo, and here is what it does. Number one, it gives you the clearest, best audio of any telephone on the market. Very important, and a lot of the other ones fall down in this category. Even if they get a good distance, they don't have good audio, and it still sounds like you're talking through a tin can with a string attached to it and your buddy at the other end. Some of them are that bad, really. Number two, it affords the greatest privacy of any portable phone made. Because of the very nature of digital spread spectrum, should somebody be listening to the frequency or the range of frequencies that you transmit on, they would hear nothing. If they were right next to your phone, they might note a small increased white noise level, background noise. That's all. No human sounds, no sounds of transmission, nothing. So not even the government right now can listen in to these phones. They're trying to get a chip in them so that they can. They haven't done that yet. And then finally, this phone will go about 10 times farther than any phone of its kind. The Sanyo 917 Digital Spread Spectrum, available in limited quantities from the C. Crane Company. It's $179.95, and yes, that's a lot of money. But trust me when I tell you, it's worth every penny. $179.95. The number to call in the morning with, and by the way, the C. Crane Company has acquired all the remaining stock of these phones in the U.S. Imagine that. Is 1-800-522-8863. That's 1-800-522-8863, the C. Crane Company. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Boy, sure glad you made it back for some live shows.
How about that, huh?
The reruns are good, but live, you're really current, and I'm really...
Live is better.
I wanted to... your problems with the pigeons, we're just in the...
Let's rephrase that. They're not my problems. They are our problems.
Our problems. Well, we're in the process of watching the geese stage to go south. And
yeah, it'll be interesting to see if the geese have a problem, then we really have a problem.
Well, I'm from Winnipeg, and there are millions of them around here. And the only slight difference I've noticed is that they seem to be a bit in a bit smaller groups staging.
Huh.
So they may be later in their staging process, because as they get further along their staging process, they get into bigger groups. But the incredible number, like they're mostly snow geese, and when they're young, they're called blues, because they're not all white, they're blue. But the incredible number of blues is just, I've never seen the like of it. There aren't very many adults, it seems, but there are incredible numbers of blues. So if anybody wants to watch the geese, I'd suggest they do it with an umbrella, because we're sending down millions and millions and millions of them, way more than we ever had. Can I say something about your president?
Oh, sure.
He's been doing a real good job on his foreign policy, in spite of the fact that he's got his hands full here. He's got Iran fairly well tamed down. He's got Great Britain taking care of her. He's keeping an eye on Afghanistan, that terrorist den. He's keeping an eye on China. I think he's feeding India a little bit of help in case China gets out of hand. They're right on the same border, as you know. And I'd like to commend a law that we have in Canada, in our constitution, which is that our prime minister, nor any member of parliament, which is similar to your Congress, can be sued civilly while the House is sitting. Now, that's not
well,
exactly...
Well, yeah, but you have a different mechanism up there. You have a parliamentary system in which a vote of confidence can be taken.
Yes,
in other words, you have an alternative method for removal from office in between elections.
Correct. Our prime minister is actually a member of the parliament, which is different. Your president has to be invited into Congress to talk, doesn't he?
That's right.
Yeah.
Basically.
So there's that.
Well, there is a constitutional mandate for the State of the Union, but otherwise, yeah.
Well, so what I'm saying essentially is that we can't tie up our prime minister in a civil litigation when he's busy doing the state business, and I commend that as a good idea for your...
But again, though, even your prime minister is not above the law.
Criminal law.
Criminal law, right.
While he's tied up doing state business, he is above the civil law. You have to wait. You have to wait if you want to sue him. And if that had been in place with Paula Jones,
the problem here may be with regard to the Ken Starr investigation that there are allegations of violations of criminal law.
Well,
perjury, suborning to perjury, witness tampering, blah blah.
Yes, I agree, and it's pretty tragic that the normal reaction of a guy being asked if he's committed adultery and when he's in front of his wife, which is what your president was, he's going to say no, and my heart goes out to their daughter. I mean,
I couldn't agree more.
Tragic.
Tragic is correct. I couldn't agree more. It really is tragic. And I agree with him with respect to Chelsea. I heard some complete ass the other day continuing to jump on Chelsea. And I just, you know, I guess I just don't see how people go there. And I think that this is a tragedy, and if we go through an impeachment, it's going to be a tragedy for the whole country. That's my view and my take on this. But I am not immune to the argument that there are allegations of criminal activity here. It may all be born of the difficulty with the women. Certainly no question about that, but... all things considered, for those who are able to separate what the president did privately, or even what grew from that, from his actual performance as president, I really think that you've got to give him some marks. But politically, people don't do that. They have great hatreds that they hold on to very, very dearly. Here's my gal. This is Crystal. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Don't make your blue eyes, or brown eyes turn blue.
Don't know where I've been so blue. Don't know why I'm over you. You found someone new. And don't I make my brown eyes blue?
You got to admit, that is a voice.
I'll be fine. When you go, I just cry. All we have known, say it is untrue. And don't I make my brown eyes blue? Tell me no secret, tell me some lies. Give me no reason, give me alibis. Tell me nothing, and don't let me cry. Say anything, but don't say goodbye. I didn't mean to treat you bad. I know just what I have, but if I did not do, and don't I make my bed. Don't make my brother blue.
800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may recharge at area code 702-727-1222. And you may call out on the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. To reach out from outside the U.S., first dial your access number to the USA, then 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye with Art Bell. I'm
love that line. Good morning, everybody. This is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm Art Bell. We'll continue with open lines in a moment.
The Internet invasion has created a lot of something.com this or something.com that. Well, enough is enough. Shopping.com. One dot, one com, and a whole lot of shopping. Shopping.com has over 3 million items, all at unbelievable prices. Imagine finding every store you've ever shopped, every product you ever needed, all at the guaranteed lowest prices. Shopping.com has more than 1.5 million books and bestsellers at 50% off list price every day. Get Stephen King's latest masterpiece, Bag of Bones, in hardcover, only $13.97. Check out our top 10 DVDs, only $16.99. Shopping.com has the biggest selection and best prices available on everything. Watches, barbecues, computers, stereos, cameras, cigars, housewares, tools, sporting goods, toys, beauty aids, and check out our new magazine selection. You name it, Shopping.com has it. You'll love shopping with Shopping.com. It's fun, it's easy, and convenient. And after all, isn't that what shopping's all about? Find us on the World Wide Web at www.shopping.com.
You all know how much I love the amazing snappy video snapshot from Play Incorporated, but did you know that for $99, Snappy turns your camcorder into the equivalent of a $1,000 megapixel digital camera? It's true. I've been using Snappy to put pictures on my website for a long time now. It works great. The quality is amazing. You can use Snappy pictures anywhere. Newsletters, school reports, business proposals. You can even print them out or send them in your email. The Snappy unit plugs right into your PC's printer port. Then, just connect your camcorder, VCR, or TV and click Snap when you see a picture you want, and there it is in your PC. It's all made possible by a new chip invented at Play. The pictures it makes are just stunning. In fact, no capture device ever invented can make a better picture from video than Snappy. Period. That's it. End of story. Buying Snappy is a no-brainer. You've just got to get one. I love mine. Visit www.play.com to get more info on this incredible product, or go to any computer store and get yours today. All right, back to the lines we go. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bell.
Hi there.
This is Mike in Phoenix.
Hi, Mike.
And I heard something that you'd said earlier about the auroras.
Yes.
Well, I had an old story transported to me from my grandmother, and she's since dead. Before World War One, there was a similar action of that going on. Does that dame have anything to say about any kind of military conflict going on in relation with this, or that this could be a side of?
No, not that I'm aware of. This is it's an event on Sun. It's what's going on with our Sun. Now, whether this solar cycle turns out to be any greater or lesser or tragic or more tragic or leads to some sort of polar reversal or whatever, I have no way of knowing. But we are in the ascension portion of cycle 23, and these geomagnetic storms are normal. They're a little vicious for as early in the cycle as we are. That's about all I can tell you from my own personal knowledge.
And see, my grandmother used to relate that something to do with Fatima had it was a warning that was given.
Well,
there was a documentary.
There have been warnings. Now you're into the religious aspect of 3 days of darkness and all kinds of things.
Oh, that stuff, yes.
Oh, yes.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, my friend. Thank you. Take care. First time caller line. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. I'm calling about the guy who called earlier about his apocalyptic vision of Washington, D.C.
Oh, yes. That sort of 10 or 15 second flash.
Right.
Yes.
And I don't mean to be a naysayer, but I'm suggesting that he got that vision from a movie called Logan's Run, where they come out and see Washington, specifically Washington, with weeds overgrown and a desert town, and the only person left in Washington is Peter Ustinov with his cats.
Well, that could be.
Uh-huh. Anyway,
that could be, but Hollywood frequently either precedes or post-event does something on reality. So
exactly. In just that they had the vision first, I think so.
That could be. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
All right. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes. Good evening, Art.
Good evening to you.
I'm calling regarding your trip to South Africa.
Yes.
I was born there, sir, and left at 13.
You were born where?
In South Africa.
Okay.
And when I was a child, my mother asked our maid in Johannesburg, I was born in Cape Town, moved all over.
Right.
Would you, if there was an uprising, hurt the children, meaning my sister, little brother, and I?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, no, Missy, I would cut their throats in their sleep. I wouldn't hurt them. And that was the reason that my parents decided to move. They were British.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends that are still there and people that have come recently tell me the most gosh-awful stories about that. It is absolutely taking one's life and one's...
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not racial.
No, sir.
It's really not racial. It's just plain old-fashioned crime. And and very serious crime. It's gangs, yeah. That's right. It's black on black, black on white. You name it. It's a mixture of whoever's got the bucks that you can hit on the head. So people try to turn it into something racial. It's not. It's just crime.
It was my father did investment banking and was all over Africa. And Nigeria was so bad that in the harbors you had to have armed guards on your ships.
Yep.
With AK-47s. And this is most of Africa now is just basically unvisitable.
No, you're quite correct. And it was some danger in doing what we did. We were well protected.
Well, I would have, you know, certainly told you not to go because I think you're wonderful. And I'm very glad you got back safely.
I appreciate it, sir. Thank you. Take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Did you get the answer to the 2 plus 2 doesn't equal 4's little word problem?
Well, no, he ran me through the hoops there, and I was unable to discern from his story how that meant 2 plus 2 does not equal 4 every day of the week.
Well, he was misstating it in a way that's meant to mislead, of course. The $3 he gave him back would have made the $27 that it costed him $30. The $2 that he kept would have made it cost the $25 it really should have cost. And that's an old trick. Or
yeah, I remember that from the past somewhere. I mean, I know I've heard that one before.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to figure it out on myself if I hadn't heard it before.
Anyway, after hearing that arduous presentation, I was disinclined to stick around for his time machine.
Well, that was kind of on the subject of free energy and so on, zero-point energy and so on and so forth. I've got a suggestion for a guest, if you would entertain it.
I always will entertain.
Okay, well, there's a man named Don Lancaster, and he writes a column called Tech Musings in Electronics Now magazine. And he frequently writes on the subject of measuring errors that people that have these zero-point energy sources and so on make. He makes a lot of sense, and it might be interesting to have him on, just as it's interesting, say, to have Dr. Kaku or... other scientists on and discuss this subject. He might be willing.
I am always happy to consider anybody.
Would you like his email address?
Not on the air.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay, and could I say one other thing?
Yes.
Okay, it is possible for an atheist to believe in God. We had a discussion on this before you went to South Africa. My dictionary, in fact, does say that a synonym for atheist is a deist, and also that a synonym... Atheist is atheist, and that was the point I was trying to make, and just trying to show people that have a well-developed, God nodule or whatever?
The God part of the brain.
Yeah, that they could overcome that, just as I have, because I really do believe I have a well-developed sense of the holy and so forth, but I am an atheist.
How can that be?
Well,
how can you have a sense of a creator and be an atheist?
Not a creator, but a God. I think God happened just like everything else did. And what it does is that you have this thing built into you. I pointed to the idea that you have to take a lot of things on faith because that's how our mind works and filters the inputs. So it's a natural thing for us to do. But if you can be a deist and say, well, yeah, there might be, you know, I can say there was a...
Oh, no, 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 wait a minute.
If there's a God out there, but he doesn't matter, you short-circuit all these people who want to tell you, if you believe in God, you've got to do this,
so you're saying there might be a God.
Well, I would, quite frankly, Art, I would extrapolate from what I know and say that it's almost a certainty that out there somewhere there's got to be someone that knows, some being that knows so much that their very thoughts become reality. I would say that if knowledge gets to that point, and it's probably not that unthinkably far above us, that you have essentially what might be a god, or what type would that be? Type two in the types of societies, things that we're rated as type zero in?
No, I don't think so.
Type two or type three, whatever.
Maybe type three or four, and go on from there somewhere.
Okay, say type five, and out of the type five people, if there are individuals at that level,
civilizations, yes.
Yeah, there's got to be one individual who's so far above all of his peers that he's almost godlike himself, like their Christ, okay?
Their Christ.
Yeah, like Christ would be to us, an exceptional individual Christ, or Muhammad, or whoever, to us.
Well, what makes you think that Christ would not be as much of a godlike figure to an advanced civilization as he was to ours 2,000 years ago?
Well, that's just the assumption I'm making, Art.
Well, if it's just an assumption, then you, my friend, are not an atheist. West of the Rockies, you're on air. Hi.
Mr. Bell.
Yes, sir.
Oh, it's so good to have you back, sir.
Thank you.
Before I ask, I got a few things here you might be interested in, but first I'd like to ask you, since you got back, have you been able to check to see how Father Martin's doing?
Since I've returned, no. Just prior to leaving, yes. Just prior to, so that information would be about a week old. And last week he was doing okay. Recovering, had recovered, I believe, most of the feeling on his right side with the exception of his right leg.
Well, like you, many of us love him too.
Indeed. Yes. And all wish him well, and prayers for him would be in order.
Well, just a couple of quick things I wanted to ask you. You're going to have Ed Danes on again, you said, shortly.
I said, what I said was that Ed Dame sent me a fax and said that he had additional information that he wanted to get on the air.
Well, you remember a few times you asked all of us to place our energy together to see if we can change an event or add to it?
I did.
Yeah, is it possible, well, if Major Ed Dame's, it's alarming what he said. I keep this April in my mind. What about the idea he and you and all of us, with our energy, seeing if we can divert this catastrophe from the sun and let it go someplace else?
I suppose if we view it as an otherwise inevitable event, that would be one thing to consider doing.
Yeah, because I don't like his alternative at all.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you one other thing, if I may.
Sure.
You know, I keep saying it's really good that you're back, and I really mean that. It's so good to have you back, and miss you when you're gone. And I, for one, appreciate your honesty in telling us what you saw over there. We got a lot of problems here. I could refer to like South Central LA and the problems that they have there, and it just makes you appreciate this country. Like you, I've traveled in other parts of the world. And it's such a great feeling to get back to America, and all the more reason why we should be concerned about our leadership and all of our people and doing a better job.
Well, you're absolutely correct. What people conclude is, I think, because we've had such a long period of relative peace and calm, that it can't happen here, put that in quotes. Well, it can happen here.
Well, like you, I love our country and our people, too. I just hope this next millennium we can do a better job than we've done.
That's a good thing to hope for.
Well, we love you, Art.
Take care. That's a good thing to hope for. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Art, this is Stephen in Richmond, Virginia. How are you doing tonight?
Just fine.
Good, good. I'm glad you made it back from South Africa. Maybe you better stay off those airplanes till we get this pigeon thing figured out, huh?
Yeah, if a bunch of 747s can't find their way home, we're going to have a definite problem.
two brief things. Earlier about the pizza boy with his little mind trick that he played.
Oh, yes.
I wouldn't bring it up except for I see this all the time, and what it is simply a trick of resetting the context on a person where the idea is to draw you into the storyline or some aspect of it.
Wait, that's right. And have you looking at the shell on the left while the shell on the right?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
and to bum rush you with so much information and they switch the context on you, you can't tell what they did.
So
in his example, of course, the price of the pizza was not $30. It was $27. plus the three that he gave you back and the two in his pocket equals the five the manager gave him. So the only thing that he proved there was that it simply takes a little bit of time for an honest person to figure out what a dishonest person's trick has been played on it.
Well, that's right.
The second thing I want to say is I like to listen to your guests and kind of cross-reference them and see if I can find any of these phenomena that tend to drift over into other fields. And I was listening real intently one night to Richard Hoagland explaining the idea of hyperdimensional physics, and which is something like they figure that the sun couldn't supply all the energy based on thermonuclear detonation alone. So they theorize that the planets revolving around the sun actually causes this tangential acceleration, this spinning action of the planets around the sun causes energy to be pulled out of a higher dimension somehow. Then I was listening a couple nights afterwards to, it might have been somebody like Stan Deo, but they were talking about this thing that they'll see when they have a tornado, and they'll find a little piece of straw stuck in a brick or stuck in a pane of glass. And I used to think that was just due to the incredible speed, but they said no, it was different. That they theorized that it was somehow setting up a field where that piece of glass and that little straw could maintain the same space and time together. And I thought, boom, there it is. That's Richard Hoagland's hyperdimensional physics. That somehow the debris or the static charge of the electricity spinning for just a moment sets up a place where that piece of straw and that glass can occupy the same place at the same time, kind of like remnants of Philadelphia experiment.
Sure.
And also this idea of the spinning action. You remember Arch Parts? I think Ed Baines.
Do I remember them? I still have them.
I think Ed Baines remote viewed them one time.
And said that they were. It was indeed a time travel event.
Exactly. He said they weren't alien, but they were indeed man-made,
no,
and they were from the future when they were experimenting with this. He said that they were spinning and they popped out of time. And
that's
back
exactly system. Correct. Yes. Thank you very much. Listen, I have an announcement that I want to make. You may recall about a year ago, I told you that there was an event, a threatening, terrible event that occurred to my family, which I could not tell you about. Because of that event and a succession of other events, what you're listening to right now is my final broadcast on the air. This is it, folks. I'm going off the air, and will not return. And what I will tell you right now is what I told you then. When the time comes when I can tell you what occurred, I will tell you through the press, through the media of one sort or another. I will explain to you the entire thing. It's not that I want to hold anything back from my audience. However, for the protection of my family, until it is otherwise revealed, I can't discuss it. I won't discuss it. And if you were in my position, you would do exactly the same thing. And when you finally hear whatever it is, whenever you hear it, I think you will then understand. At any rate, I wanted to tell you, I didn't want to go without saying a word, so I'm telling you now. What you're listening to is my final broadcast. It's been a good run, and you've been a great audience, and it's been an absolutely incredible forum. And my presumption is that the forum will continue. At any rate, it certainly is my hope that the forum will continue. And again, when the time comes, when this information can be released, you can be sure that I will release it. And I would assume, because of the magnitude of the forum that I have held at that time, that you'll get the whole story. But the time will come when I'll tell it. So, for now, and for the foreseeable future, that's it.
That is the end of this man's broadcast career. So, thank you, and goodbye.